Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, I just want to say that formally here we was planning to join at 2 p.m. If I have another chapter to attend. If I can, on that note, continue. I'll be presenting the APT and strategic plans for DDW, and my colleague will join me in presenting my plans for the ENG.
Yes, just before you continue, if for all your colleagues to introduce themselves, you can start, so that you know who's in the room.
Chairperson, my name is Intia Fezo, I'm the EDG Governor of Public Works.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members. My name is Abigail Macker, and I'm from the Strategic Management Unit.
Good afternoon, Chairman members. My name is Stanley Anderson, and the DG for the Expanded Public Works Program.
And members, my name is Nkosi Lagazi, acting DG Project and Professional Affairs.
Good day to the Chairperson and members. My name is Mutsubai Gandha, the acting head of the Property Management Training Entity of Public Works. On my right is going to be Mr. Harold Mazibuku, which is Director for Finance.
He just has no option to call.
Hello, good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Mama Kampagela from the police branch.
Good
afternoon, Chair, honorable members. My name is Pedro Kokwazube, advisor to the minister.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members.
Good morning,
at this hour. Good day. Mpoma Shaba, PLO, Public Works.
When you say hello, certain people think of the Brazilian Liberation Organization.
PLO stands for Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good afternoon, Secretary. At this side. I'm Jason Kumana, the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Minister.
Afternoon, Chair, members. I'm sorry, I'm under the mayor.
Afternoon, Chair, members of several minds and media liaison.
Afternoon, Chair, members. Have been a good channel, personal assistant for the minister. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, President. My name is Buyo Babuma, acting head of communication and marketing.
Thank you very much. No, you are not a member of the department. Greatly appreciate it. You may continue.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll be going through first the APT and strategic plan for the Department of Public Works. Chairperson, I'd like to mention that the department followed the requisite framework prescribed by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency, as well as National Treasury with regard to the formulation of strategic plan and annual performance plan. And in this regard, we were required to present drafts of these plans by the end of August, as well as the end of November last year, in order to receive the comments and critiques from these various departments. I'd also like to mention that with respect to our plans, we've undergone an internal audit by our own internal audit division. We've also subjected the plans to audit by the audit general. And we've also undertook a peer review with the minister invited the DPNE, the National Treasury, as well as CPSA, to review our plans and to make comments, in addition to comments we received from our own audit committee. So we've had a lot of tinkering of the plan throughout our planning process, in the sense that we were forced to refine and polish the plan on an ongoing basis. Chairperson, the planning process within the DPW essentially commenced on the 20th of June 2014, when the Minister presented to the Department his five-year policy statement going forward, and that set a ball in motion with respect to understanding and unpacking what we were required to focus on for the 5 years ahead. With respect to the various parts of the strategic plan and annual performance plan, the first part focuses on our legislative and other mandates, and these that they cover the constitutional mandate on the slide, as well as the legislative mandate, which is driven mainly by the likes of GIAMA, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act of 2007, the CIDB Act, as well as the CBA Act, and various other acts, including those that manage and regulate governance, such as the Public Finance Management Act. These are then supplemented by various policy mandates, which include the white paper and various policies, including green building policies. Chairperson, moving to the next slide, I would like to take the members of the committee through some of the areas and those triggers that inform our priorities with respect to our plans. The current government priorities form the basis of the set plan and APP of the department, together with the MPSF. The main area or outcome within the MPSF, which has driven our plan outcome four, with respect to youth and employment to inclusive economic growth. And in this regard, the medium-term budget allocation for EPWP, including their own compensation in goods and services, is 6.8 billion when over the MCDF. Beyond outcome four, we also have various indirect outcomes, indirect areas that determine what goes into our plan. And these include outcome five, which is also chapter nine in NDP, skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. And in this regard, the department is undertaking various development programs in order to support this outcome. In addition to this, we also have a CBE, and through the CBE initiated a skills development program, and is also undertaking a substantive approach to promote sustainability and growth of the built environment professions. Outcome 30, which is essentially owned by the Department of Social Development, to which we contribute through the EPWP social sector grant to the tune of 985 million rand. Chairperson, those are three outcomes, EPWP being the main one, directly and indirectly, outcomes 5 and 13. In addition to those, we also have four outcomes, such as outcome 7, rural development, which my colleague from the PMCE will speak about, as well as outcome 12, which is the core business of the PMC with respect to providing the accommodation requirements of government under the provisions of outcome 12. Chairperson, I may continue. The finance strategic plan, as well as the APP, will talk to the vision of the department, and I think going forward for the years 2015 to 2020, we've reoriented our vision to a large extent, as well as our mission in terms of what we must do over the 5 year period to achieve our mission. We also crafted strategic goals for the 5 year ahead in terms of what we ought to achieve over the 5 year period to deliver that mission. And in this regard, the goals, they very much inform our plan. They refer to sound legislative and constitutional to accelerate service delivery, oversight, leadership, and support public works, the coordination of EPWP Phase 3, strategic leadership and regulation of construction and property sectors, as well as good corporate governance. For the 5 years ahead, the following areas will constitute important areas of focus from a policy point of view, and they include the review of the department white papers, public works, as well as the growth and development of the construction industry. Further, the establishment of Agrima South Africa as a public entity, the development of draft world environment professions policies towards possible amendments of the current legislative framework, the promulgation of the new appropriation act, the development of legislation to establish the IDT as an entity, and to develop green building policies. Chairperson and honorable members, part A of the strategic plan require us to consider the environment in which we are functioning and operating, both the external develop the internal environment in order to determine the parameters and important areas being included in our plan. In this regard, we've noted that the reduction in the oil price provides an important lift to the economy, although recent sales have shown that they are falling on the rand, and the weakening of the rand has further driven the value of the rand down against the dollar, negating the benefit of the reducing oil price. We've also noted the energy deficit over the medium term, and the seasonal constraints it will provide to economic performance. With respect to the property sector, and with specific reference to the PNDE, we've noted current trends in the property sector offer some relief to escalating lease costs. We note that the driving down of prices due to a surplus stock within the property sector. We also note the challenges encountered by PNDE with respect to the backlog of state-owned accommodation, which has an immediate consequence of government departments placing an over-reliance on leased accommodation. So over the medium term, our intention is to ensure that we coordinate a better approach to ensure there's a balance between private leasing and the utilization of existing state-owned property. In the construction sector, we've noted that the building and construction sector is expected to grow at an average rate of 4.6%. However, governments are willing to roll out the infrastructure program is a sort of concern. And in this regard, the department is establishing a number of interventions to ensure that we are able to spend our budgets on time and deliver the right quality, and to also address foreign corruption within the sector as a whole. Within the political environment, we've noticed that our own economy is influenced by events in emerging markets, as well as the global economy as a whole. Some of the important drivers within the political environment include the need to drive good governance within the public sector as a whole to achieve sustainability. And in this regard, the department sees reform in the FDA environment as critical to achieve good and clean governance and to improve governance in general and address corruption. Chairperson and honorable members, with respect to the internal environment, the minister addressed the department on the 20th of June 2014, as mentioned earlier, identifying the key policy areas that he expects the department to focus on. These naturally were informed by the MPs and the MPSF and the MPP, as well as the mandate of the department, and include the following five key policy priority areas. The first being creation of 6 million work opportunities, the second being the operationalization of PNCE, and the transformation of the core property business, including construction management. Third is the operationalization of the governance, risk and compliance branch to drive the anti-corruption initiatives in the department and the sector as a whole, as well as to spearhead the second phase of the turnaround. Fourth, a policy review which will culminate in a public work act. And lastly, a renewed and sustainable program of action to transform the built environment as well as construction and property sectors. Chairman and honorable members, with respect to the internal environment, further areas that are of importance to the department in terms of how we plan is recognizing the central importance of the turnaround strategy comments by the minister in 2012. As of 31st March 2014, the first phase of that turnaround was completed and achieved certain critical milestones, although we do recognize that there is no hard and fast end to one process and the beginning of the other. Some of the important achievements of the first phase of the turnaround include the preparation for the operationalization of the PMC, the strides we have taken to develop a credible assets register within the department and the sector as a whole, our attempts to grab control over our leasing environment and conduct a full leasing audit as well as verify these properties, as well as substantial improvements in the outcomes of the department where we arrived in the 2013-14 year in unqualified audits, as well as improved internal efficiencies within the prestige portfolio that has been galvanized by the fact that the function is now centralized within the prestige office. The next phase of the turnaround, phase two, which is referred to as efficiency enhancement, comprises and has been defined and refined into 10 specific projects, the important of which include service delivery improvement. In this regard, chairperson and honorable members, the department is embarking on the development of a service delivery model, the department as a whole. for the assistance of the Department of Public Service and the administration. This will allow us to develop our business processes and align them to our mandate. Second is the operationalization of the PMCE as a trading entity. Third is supply chain management being restructured to meet business requirements as well as address fraud and corruption. Fourth is improving internal efficiencies with respect to provision of quality service to prestige clients within the whiskers of the ministerial handbook, as well as the related norms and standards, improving our ICT strategy and infrastructure to support the business, combating fraud and corruption, as well as dealing with the human aspect of the department and implementing an effective change management strategy to the right of performance and culture in the department. Okay, and honorable members, moving on to slide 17, the business model of the department after operationalizing the PNCE will place greater emphasis on developing best practices within the sector. It will manage transformation and growth of the construction and rental property sectors. It will focus on drafting legislation and undertaking regulatory functions, formulating policies for the sector, setting norms and standards for the sector, coordinating the implementation of EPWP, focusing on the whole its role as a National Department of Public Works with respect to the program's function and providing a greater level of oversight and coordination within the public works family as a whole, as well as carrying out the oversight functions and coordination of the work of the public entities that report to the Minister of Public Works. And person, with respect to our performance environment, there have been a number of achievements that we've also noted. In particular, they include the fact that we've improved our audit outcomes. We've also achieved the targets for EPWP Phase 2 in terms of the creation of 4 million work opportunities. And then, in terms of the challenges in the current service delivery environment and our strategies for redress, with respect to the internal controls within the department, I think there's recognition and there has been recognition that our internal controls have not been what they ought to be. In this regard, the department has a comprehensive audit action plan which is monitored on a regular basis. It is also investing a considerable amount of effort and time in improving our policies and procedures with respect to planning, monitoring and evaluation. We are now embarking on a three-phase approach with respect to improving our ICT infrastructure and systems in the department, and also focusing heavily on the need to attract and retain the required skills in the department through a comprehensive human resource plan. Additional strategies identified to improve efficiencies include alignment of concurrent functions. In this regard, the department has a new program which will address largely the fact that the National Department of Public Works needs to play a more important role with respect to oversight and coordination of the public works sector as a whole. We are also implementing the self-delivery model framework. We are beginning to address the needs of prestige plans and actively reducing fraud and corruption in the department. With respect to demand for services for EPWP, I think that is something that we're all well aware of, that the high and growing rate of unemployment and consequences and reasons therefore, and the fact that there has not been sufficient growth to absorb new labor market entrants and be that laid the basis for the need of the public employment program for EWP. Chairperson, honorable members, with respect to our spending over the MPEF, the department has a budget of 3.7 billion rand over the MPEF, which includes 11.3 billion earmarked for PMCE. 6.4 billion is projected to increase to 6.9 billion next year and 7.4 billion the year after. Chairperson, this is a slide showing our organizational structure for EPW post operationalization of the PMCE as a trading account. I think there are two points that I'd like to add here with respect to our organizational environment. It's the fact that we have a new organizational structure for the department as well as the PMCE, which must be operationalized. And the PMCE being operationalized on the same day, movement has functions across the asset life cycles. The department has improved a post establishment of 1,618 posts, of which 1,413 are filled. And the bulk of the next step is on centering the functions within VPW, which includes intergovernmental relations, policy, EPWP, prestige, and governance, risk, and compliance. The department will continue to support PMT. I think there's a recognition PMT is VPW, is merely getting about, and I think we are conscious of that fact that PMC is not a separate department. Chairperson, in terms of our budget, the second corner from the left indicates the budget between the 2016 of 6.4 billion rand from a programmatic point of view, and the next slide was the same budget from the point of view of an economic classification. I think one of the important changes that takes place is the use reduction, the number of items in the budget. Given the fact that 75% of the common items within the budget are transferred now to the PMCE. So in terms of the departmental agencies and accounts, it moved from 802 million to 3.7 billion, given the fact that we are intending and involving the associated funding for the PMCE into a transfer into PMCE, as opposed to including the separate line items within our budget. Over the MPF, a gross amount of 541 million was reduced from our department allocation. And these were then cut from the following areas: compensation of employees by 12 million, goods and services, 45 million, transfers and subsidies, 470 million, payment for capital assets of 4 million. These budgets were in line with the budget framework approved by cabinet. Under transfers and subsidies, some of the items included in the 470 million in the previous slide include the PCE itself, 252 million as well as the CIDB, the CDE, as well as EPWP. In addition to this, there was also a 50 million increase in the budget of the non-state sector for EPWP. Chairperson, members, this slide really shows what a detailed breakdown of the earmark budget included in the budget of the DPW in the previous slide. If I could now just point move into the separate program and just highlight some of the important areas that the department wishes to measure by discussing some of the indicators on our various programs. Chairperson, some of the important things we are measuring within the administration of DPW is the fact that we need to initiate investigations into fraud and corruption within 30 days. We were not satisfied with the fact that we are initiating them within 30 days. We also undertake an initiative to measure the extent to which we are combating fraud and corruption. It included introduced another indicator during the year for the year ahead by seeking to measure the change in fraud and corruption risk level within the department. We are also measuring the change in the rand value of irregular expenses. We are measuring the extent to which we are paying suppliers within 30 days. We are measuring the extent to which we are avoiding bills within an acceptable period of time. We are also measuring the extent to which we are procuring from the public and the private sector within a reasonable framework at the current rate we are paying 160% of the market price, and over a 3-year period we seek to pay no more than 110% of the market price. We are also measuring the extent to which we fill our vacant posts over a 3-year period, recognizing the fact that we have a number of vacancies which specifically affect the extent of performance in the department. Chairperson, if I move over to program 2, intergovernmental coordination is a new program. Essentially, it includes the performance measures of the newly established Government Risk and Compliance Branch, as well as certain performance measures which talk to our coordination and oversight of the public works sector as a whole. And in this regard, we are seeking to develop a diagnostic report for the year ahead. I think the intention here is to understand the extent to which we carry out the concurrent function by overseeing and regulating the public works sector as a whole, and the diagnostic is intended to inform that progress. We are also seeking to improve the quality of service delivery by developing the service delivery framework for certain identified services. In the year ahead, we are seeking to have a complete and comprehensive service delivery model for the delivery of infrastructure to superstructure. And lastly, under this program, we are also seeking to measure the extent to which we are improving the quality of governance in the department by using MPATS and MPATS scoring framework as a nucleus to measure the quality of governance and the improvement of governance arrangements for the MCDF. Chairperson, honourable members, I go over to Program 3, which is EPWP, and EPWP is measuring the job creation, as you're all aware, the number of work options created by public bodies, by rural municipalities, as well as designated groups in the first three performance indicators, and thereafter moves to measure the extent to which is subverting performance-based incentive allocations to eligible public bodies across all sectors. It then goes on to measure the number of municipalities with which the EPWP is providing technical support, as well as measuring the extent of their monitoring and evaluation function by measuring the number of public bodies submitting sign-off data reports. Program 4 is the Property and Construction Industry Policy Regulation, and in this regard, the key performance indicators include the draft public works white paper developed, the development of a business case for the IT, the assessment for the contractor development program, an approved property management empowerment policy, as well as developing a bill to manage the disposal of immovable assets. In this regard, there is also a public work general laws amendment bill submitted to Parliament to deal with items in other legislation that deal then with the inconsistent with the Constitution, or over time they have become obsolete. There is also an indicator to review Yama best practice guidelines to measure and manage immovable assets. And finally, Chairperson, Honourable Members, we have Program 5, which is Prestige Policy. While the delivery of prestige in terms of deliverables to clients take place through the PNT, the Prestige Policy measures the policies, or at least is responsible for policy development within the prestige environment, as well as development of norms and standards with respect to prestige. And in this regard, the performance indicators talk to the development of prestige norms and standards, prestige policy guidelines, development of service delivery agreements with Parliament and the Presidency, as well as supporting certain prestige events. Chairperson, in this regard, Part C of the annual performance plan, as well as the specific plans, require us to develop links to other plans. And with this in mind, we've developed those links, and the most important plans that we have that link to our specific plan include the Service Delivery Improvement Plan. Within the Service Delivery Improvement Plan, the areas that we set aside to improve the quality of services include the accommodation, provision of accommodation through construction, the provision of accommodation through leases, as well as customer relationship management. I just want to close off by making reference to the fact that we prepared a comprehensive risk assessment. As part of our planning process, we sought to align our planning processes with risk management processes and identify a number of risks together with the mitigation plan. I think some of the more critical ones include our risks with respect to fraud and corruption, specifically within the FEM environment, and fraud and corruption exposure as a whole. We've also identified the inability to implement our proposed organizational structure due to resource constraints and potential risk, as well as the lack of technical capacity to implement the PNT. We've also identified the loss of safe funds due to a breach of contract by non-performing contractors. This is a problem we experience on an ongoing basis. We've also identified ineffective implementation of the EPWP by implementing bodies. Low levels of transformation in the construction and property industries, as well as non-adherence to prestige policies, our prestige plan. All of these risks, where appropriate, they have been addressed through mitigation plans, and in some instances, also by performance indicators within the APP or at the business plan level. Chair, in closing, we are required to make mention of the fact that we have conditional grants in this regard. The EPWP is strong in the area. It has provisional grants to provinces with respect to integrated grant provinces and to municipalities. There's also a social sector grant to provinces, as well as the non-state sector waste subsidy. We also have four public entities, including the CIDB, the CBE, Agrimont Africa, as well as the IDT, all of which we oversee and whose function we coordinate on an ongoing basis. Chairperson did more or less cover the DPW ADPS threat plan and its contents. My colleague behind me would want to take the presentation forward and talk in detail about the PNT. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
you know, when you commenced your contribution, you introduced yourself and your colleagues did likewise as to what's the role in the ministry. I don't recall anybody articulating their job description as being to consult the ancestors, first in the meeting, firstly, on behalf of the minister. So I would like to encourage the person who has been asleep to stay awake, wondering what. I will name you. I remember your job description. As you articulate that time, that's not part of your job description to sleep. The minister is keen to know who this is. I'm not going to divulge the secret. From my vantage point, I can see everybody. But I would like to encourage the individual to stay awake. And I don't take it kindly when I see a man looking at me now and then with sexy eyes that are true. Whoever is next in line to continue with the contribution, it seems it was the dire. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, members of the portfolio committee, minister, and fellow colleagues.
Just a second, minister, to let us to something. Yeah, Chair, I put an apology for this session, but I want to just to say to you the programs which we have been talking about as a priority in one state. Right other BWP centers we are conversant with them. Now we think that Chairperson members should pay more attention to this PMG, property management, because we're starting some restructuring there for how we want to run, but also 70% of the work of government around that particular area. I mean, if you're talking about scandals or whatever, it has been that particular area which has been with us in the problems. And it's also receiving the priorities. Cabinet has agreed that we move in terms of an investment base, we're moving towards a government component and so forth. We've started a process of recruitment of skills from the private sector to help us to run that particular area. So I think this is going to be a very important area. And if it means servicing at some stage, together with the members, you call a special session so that we come and present the whole property management trade. How do we see it? How are we going to take it forward? It's a very, very fun thing. And that's what we want to run backwards, like we have this. So I thought that was important I said before that. Thank you. Thank you very much for the alert, Minister, with the emphasis on scandals, theft, and corruption. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister. Chairperson, I'm going to be assisted with my two colleagues. Aaron Mazibuku will talk to slides 11 and 12 in relation to the budget, and Mr. Nkosi Zelengazi will talk to part C, links to the infrastructure plan. Thank you. The vision, firstly, I think let's pick up. Quite a few issues were covered in the presentation already made in terms of DPW, the sense of basis, and the link to how the PMGE, the trading entity of Public Works, will deliver in respect of the property management business. In this respect, the mission of PMGE is to be the preeminent accommodation and real estate management service provider for the national government. Our vision is to optimize the state's immovable asset portfolio through an innovative and best practice approach to ensure competent, proficient, and sustainable service delivery. By one, focusing on reducing costs to government on leasing accommodation, and maximizing the return on the leased housing accommodation. Partnering with public and private sector on property financing and modes of delivery options and services. Streamlining the value chain, business improvement, policy approaches, and strategic alignment. Utilizing alternative energy solutions and green management technology for enhanced efficiency and cost savings. In terms of our value, we thought we'd focus on four areas. Integrity, our value, given the high levels of fraud and corruption of the past. Professionalism, the manner in which we render our service. Given the mammoth portfolio we have, a focus on teamwork and a breakdown of silos. And given that the property business, there are always innovations and creating a culture of innovation. In terms of our focus, I've indicated of saving costs. More importantly, trying to maintain the value of our assets. Improving access to and the quality of government assets, optimizing the utilization of our stock, and trying to move away from the leasing in culture that existed over the last years. Trying to utilize the state's vacant properties productively to create a funding stream for capital investments and improvements to extend the life cycle of the existing. But more importantly, to help public works reclaiming mandate by developing small claims and unproclaimed harbors. Develop government pieces with a focus on small towns and rural areas, safeguarding the state's assets for vandalism, theft, invasion, and occupation. Reclaiming all misappropriate state land, and importantly, to preserve assets, structures, buildings, and land. We also have to leverage the state's portfolio to contribute to skill development. In particular, our focus is on our workshops, the facility management service centers, and the development of technical skills, artisans that are required to perform. The leveraging of our property to create employment, to co-ops, and small facility management companies. Use our portfolio to empower emerging black businesses in the real estate, facilities management, targeting SMMEs and corporate to attain and refurbish our business. Ensure water and electricity supply security to sound investment decisions that use conservation and renewable energy to the installation of smart meters, renewable energy, in terms of solar yields, energy audit, monitoring, reporting and verification, capacity building and training, in terms of energy efficiency basics, and importantly, encourage retrofitting. In terms of our strategic goals, which was articulated by Mr. Faisal here, is to effectively and efficiently manage the life cycle of our immovable assets. And the goal statement of optimize the utilization and value of state assets. To promote service delivery. Good corporate governance to support effectual service delivery. That is by providing strategic leadership in terms of effective governance and sound resource management to promote economic growth, to integrate create infrastructure development in urban and rural areas, improve land administration and integrate the planning of small harbor and building government treatment in, with a focus on cities, but more importantly, small harbor. In terms of our goal of creating employment opportunities, goal is to lead and coordinate the creation of additional employment opportunities, labor intensive construction, property development, and management and facility management. To leverage the state's portfolio, number five, to contribute to government rural transformation of economic empowerment, our goal statement is to empower economic business and our women say later in peace and careers. In terms of the alignment of our strategic goals with the broader policy priorities, in terms of the MTSF, is improving service delivery with a link to outcome number 12, efficient and effective development oriented public service, which is strategic goal number 1, 2, and is linked to our progress 2, 4, 5, and 6. Outcome number 6, an efficient, competitive, and responsive infrastructure network. So strategic goal number 3, promoting economic growth, integrated planning, and delivery of infrastructure projects, links to our program 2, 3, 4, 5. Outcome number 7, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities contributing, and in this respect, linked to our strategic goal number 3, in terms of our focus on more housing. Radical economic transformation is linked to national outcomes 4, 5, and 14 and links to our strategic goals, creation of employment opportunities, 5, to contribute to government broad economic transformation with a focus on small business and the limitations of property and social safety. And the focus in terms of our program is 3, 4, and 5. In terms of external environment, the expected performance of our economy and the need to expedite economic growth for the implementation of the MDP. The overall view of the South African property sector and its implications for the period. The construction sector, the challenges of infrastructure development, and the role of the PMT in addressing. Consider the trends in the formal and informal employment sector, which is the current electricity and water supply challenges in South Africa, and we look at trends in the political environment and emerging drivers of policy in the next 10 years, and especially the current in terms of the budget that has been put together, let Mr. Mabuka to just make a comment on the next one.
In terms of the budget allocation, over the MTF, the budget for the TMTV is 37 billion. And in comparison between 2014 and 2015, we realize that there is an increase of 3 billion. And this has resulted from the operationalization of the TMTV. With the budget for compensation of employee for the units which are responsible for PMTV moving from department to PMTV. When you compare the programs, program 1 administration, you will see that for 2014-15, the budget is 9.1 million, and in 2015-16, the budget increased to a billion. Real estate investment management for 2014-15, there is no allocation, and 2015-16, 1.7 billion. Construction, 36 billion, in 2014-15, and 2015-16, 666 million. Under the real estate, there is a minimal movement of around 500 million. Under real estate information and register service, the budget moved from 750 million to 1.7 billion. Currently, under facility management, there is no allocation. In 2015-16, the budget increases to 2.8 billion. If I go to the next slide for the economic classification, comparing 2014-15, you will realize that under combination of employee voting 50, there is no allocation. But in 2015-16, the budget is 1.3 billion. Within services, between 2014 budget 6.5 billion, 2015-16, 7.4 billion. Damages, 20 million the same. Interest, 15, this is an annual increase. Under the transfers and subsidies, the budget increased from 960 to 1 billion. Capital, 3.4 billion, 3.5 billion in 2015, increases to 4.9 billion in 2015-16. So the increase here is because of the infrastructure budget for DPW, which is currently under DPW, which will be moving to PMGD. Between 2014-15 and 2015-16, the budget increased from 11 million to 14.7 billion. Thank you.
Now, the overall program structure to support the budget, or to support the structure, and this is how we have organized. So the fundamental break from the past was that the entire PMTE used to be included in Program 2 in the past. And Program 2 has been broken up to fairly reflect the business. As a trading entity, it has Program 1, which is management and leadership, we call it administration. And the business of the PMTE is one, the making of investment decisions. Thus, there's a unit demand management, the development of units, in terms of all the right departments, there's planning and treatment development, which is required, in terms of developing plans for buildings, and then the property performance management. This is an area in respect of which we were never able to monitor the performance of any single building. And for the first time, we are putting in a unit that begins to develop this. And then investments, making sound investment decisions. That four areas of focus constitute the real investment management branch or division. The second area is construction project management. We used to be called project and professional services. And we reconstituted this to the construction project planning and a significant focus of planning before we execute the project itself. So there's a big turnaround program that focuses on this area. Program 4 never existed formally as a branch before. We created real estate investment focusing on a few areas. The management of our freehold property at the estimates about 42,000 land parcels and over 180,000 structures of buildings. A special focus on land administration and management, given the significant number of pieces of land we have that needs to be managed. Looking at the surplus freehold property that we have, that we're not using. And we have a large number that when we present the asset register, we can tell you that we have a large number of properties that we have just And the last area, which everyone thought was the only business of public works, and they are leasing it. That's our property management or real estate. We have created program 5 as real estate registry services. This is part of our cooperative. Relations in the public works family, setting up a common asset registry between our department and the national and the provinces in the name. So therefore we have at least 6 or 7 provinces depending on us to provide those registry services. And the last area is a focus on conveyancing when we are acquiring or utilizing our distribution. Program 6 itself never existed as a branch, an IFP as a division, and there are 3 focus areas. Having a organized scheduled maintenance program and trying to provide funds and increasing scheduled maintenance to one day open that every building will have a scheduled maintenance plan. focusing on safety, health, risk, and quality management in relation to operations. And the last is RECIF, ad hoc, unscheduled maintenance, the ability to fix those within reasonable time. This is a representation of what I've just spoken to already, so we can move through. In terms of administration, the point I want to make, we have fairly detailed set of targets. And because we are not so much in the policy and regulatory environment, but more in terms of implementation, our measures have to be fairly wide, so that we can measure different parts of the business to ensure that we are indeed delivering. But from a strategic level, our strategic goals are to provide management, operational support, financial management, financial accounting management, and supply chain. And in terms of our targets, is to have approved strategic plans as well as our annual performance reports approved by this board. In terms of operation management, to ensure that our ICT is available at 99% of the time, our legal supports and other related services is provided 100% within the reasonable time frame, and the vacancy rate we think should not exceed 10%. In terms of financial management, we have a clear target of a clean audit outcome. It's a tall order, but it should always remain a target for us. In terms of supply chain, is increasing efficiency in addressing requisitions, requiring resources within reasonable prices and timelines. In terms of the performance indicators and targets, I've indicated there, I'm not going to go through that in great detail, self-explanatory, saying that our target is our plan and performance report should stand the test of scrutiny of the school. In terms of making ICT available, the norm in the industry is about 96%, and we should try and achieve that. In terms of our infrastructure, we have network availability, the infrastructure availability is over 90%. Unfortunately, we will not be able to have 100% in this respect, as it links to a number of factors that are beyond the control of public works itself. But the normal industry. In terms of our SLA commitments, currently is to improve that to 80% over the year. In terms of legal opinions, contract management, etc., currently we're performing quite poorly, so we hope to move from 60 to 80. In terms of the vacancy rate, the qualification we need to make here is that we need to firstly get a structure approved. We don't have that yet. But when we do, it will be looking at a 25% reduction in the vacancy that we already have. In terms of staff development, we're looking at 50% in physically identified areas and moving that to 70%, especially in construction project management, property management, these costs. In terms of financial accounting payment within 30 days, we are fighting for performance, but we want to move from 80% of our clients in the first year to 100%. In terms of the reduction of the debtors balance, a 20% reduction of 1.8 billion over the next 5 years. In terms of the recovery in the debtors current balance, we have to move from 90 to 97. In terms of the ESE, this is within the regular time. Now, we put it here because it's something that didn't happen appropriately. In terms of supply chain, we set ourselves on a tough challenge. In terms of construction project management, to ensure that tenders are awarded within the stipulated 50%. And to move from a poor performance of less than 50% currently to 70%. And you ask us why such a low target. So we are a procurement organization. We deal with large number of tenders almost every day. So it's turning around. In terms of purchasing, Mr. Faisal indicated we are purchasing well in excess of 160% of the market price. And our target is to come to 110% within 3 years. So that would be a significant increase. And in terms of variations, there is an allowance of 50%. We are saying our target is to reduce 15% to 7.5%. And only in a 5% variation contract. We have to look at ourselves. And that means changing business processes in terms of how we do it. In terms of real estate management, I've indicated three main areas of user demand, planning, investment, investment analysis, and property performance. The biggest failing of public works is well to get the user apps. So our target is to have a user app from each department, and by embedding and starting with a kickstart UF and developing a UF over the next 5 years to be comprehensive as required. But at least to have quality. 2 years ago we received 6 UFs. A year ago we were struggling around 1. Okay? And so it's setting the way we have to turn that back. Because we can't deliver government services if we don't have public lands. In terms of recent development, we want to have 40 recent development proposals integrated into the municipal system. In terms of investment, we hope to have 1,389. Now this is based on the backlog of requests. Approved so that construction and or deployment of the properties for service delivery can occur. In land parcels, proactively approved for natural priority to either farming or economic development. To make available 500 vacant freehold properties for property development. We have a large number of buildings, even members of parliament. Let's get a test that are standing and getting derelict. So we want to make those available to property developers for use either by government or private sector and at least ensure optimum utilization and increase access. In terms of property performance management, is to set targets of measuring 10,500 buildings over the next 5 years. That number may seem small, but compared to the 8,000 we're using. But as we develop the system and gain experience, we may be able to increase that number. So we set it down a reasonable target of at least major buildings. As I've indicated, we set our targets for the US. In terms of the service level agreements, given there too, the numbers we signed with the user department is fairly low. So we want to assist, make sure we have all that done. That's it. In terms of the framework agreements for the use of freehold properties, we've never had an agreement with any department for the use of all the properties that we have registered. We've never had an agreement even with justice that says these are all the properties. For the first time now that we have an actual register, we call it a framework agreement. That we can now help that get an acknowledgement from the user department of the exact building that they are using for purpose. In terms of planning a decent development, and in terms of national in Chuan, the focus is on headquarters 2 and 3. Now just to get it planned, the roof, the actual construction itself is a 3 to 5 year program. In terms of metro domestic municipalities, it's focusing on 2. I've noticed over the last few weeks, I've asked us to revise this and increase the number to one that is the focus in 7 of the 9 provinces, at least to have 2. So we have up our game, especially in terms of rural areas. Currently we have 2, 4, 4. We think we have to start with 7, 14 and 21. But we've not amended this, but something will work to us. In terms of investment management, this is an area for fairly neglected in public works. One is to increase the value of our assets. Now, you may look at 2%. If we just take the municipal value of our property and it may stand around 400 billion, so 2% must be the property in terms of that value of one. The percentage of investment decision the group within 3 months. We set out on the targets. When there is a decision to be made, we give ourselves 3 months to make that decision. And to move from the 35% approval rate to 85%. We will not expect a 100% approval rate. In terms of investment solutions for construction approved, within 24 months from the date of interest, year again, moving from 75% to 85%. In terms of investment solution for refurbishment approved within 6 months, same target again. And then the percentage of investment solution for leasehold and surplus within 1 month. Here we anticipate putting out adverts for the public to take up our freehold property. And we cannot wait many months, so we need the ability to make a decision with them in terms of the differences. And for social and economic development within 12 months, we hope to proactively at least use 2 land parcels there for social and economic development. In terms of disposal certificate, currently we have a lot of unsolicited requests for the disposal of our property. And some are sitting with us for as much as 5 years, and we think that this can be cleared within 6 months to the minister. A number of vacant freehold properties approved for BBB property development. We are anticipating anywhere between 80 and 100 per financial year. It depends on the state of our properties. We can't predict what the market will take or not take. But at least we want to make this available for property development. In terms of Operation Pakifa, 15 and 16, these are those priorities. There are a number of requests that are already sitting with that that lead us to process jointly. And we hope to improve our approval of those in the first year, anywhere between 60 to 80%. Thereafter, what we clarify, what types of projects will be allowed at 90% and 100% in 3 years. Currently, this is the large number of requests that may not necessarily be the priorities. In terms of investment decisions approved for proclaim the harbor infrastructure within 9 months, there again the same. In terms of property performance management, this is our research country. We hope to produce in the first year a measure, X number of buildings against 9 specific areas, and produce 3 reports because it will take us at least 3 to 4 months to gather information, so we won't get a report at the end of each quarter. Thereafter, we'll have quarterly reports. Number of freehold building measures, okay. We've indicated $10,500 over the next 5 years. In terms of construction project management, from the strategic objective of ensuring delivery of new and refurbished buildings through construction project management, one is to create 35,000 work opportunities over the next 5 years as 15,000 per annum. The other is to ensure that 60% of our construction projects are allocated to suitably established contractors. And the third is the verification of 919 school stations. We are supporting the Department of Education. I've indicated in terms of the work opportunity of 15,000. In terms of the construction project, and we've done some detailed work and from the work that we have, the number of projects that we hope to complete within the agreed time phase period is 62 of the 103 that will be managed in the year 2027 of the 41 for the year 2013 to 10 of the 14 to 2013. So we're now setting clear targets for when projects must end over the next 3 years. Once it's completed within budget, the budget is the big issue. The current methodology is uncontrolled and spirals out. So we hope to have 77 of the 103 managed within the budget that takes us. 21 of the 36 in the second year and 4 out of 5 in the third. In terms of the projects in our works control system, they're cleared. There's a backlog of 542. We hope to clear 271 in year 1 and 108 of the 271 in year 2 and 16 of the 100. It will take us quite a few years to clear the backlog. In terms of our percentage for the contract, we want to up that to an eventual target. In terms of number of schools completed within the planned construction period, number of services. It's 144 in the year 16-17. Currently we have 36 schools in the Macmillan spot. So there's some stakes on this one. The second part is the beautification of schools. In terms of beautification, we gave you a figure of 919. And we hope to do that. In terms of work opportunities created, we anticipate creating 3,870 and 720. Our methodology in terms of the school beautification and from creating work opportunities at the school community. In terms of real estate management services, our occupancy rate we wanted to increase by 50% for partially occupied and utilized properties. Not all our buildings are optimally utilized. We hope to target 2,142 land parcels to be let out for economic development over the next 5 years. Whether it is for solar farms, wind farms, agriculture or small harbors development, they all include science. Because the only way we can prevent invasion and secure our land if we allow it to be used. In terms of our freehold for revenue management, we are targeting to release 3,000 surplusly owned properties over the next 5 years. We may increase the number depending on the market response. But that is a large number of houses and is a figure of about anywhere probably 300 officers for the foundation. We hope to save 300 million by retrovisions exercise over the next 2 years. And this is a carry through cost. We've already saved 33 million just by introducing 5.5%. And the carry through cost of the 33 included in the payment. In terms of the occupancy rates for partially occupied properties, we want to improve this 5% to 15%. That means using space harder. In terms of the number of vacant land parcels that are economic development, we have started with 130, 200, 300, and so on. In terms of the surplus freehold property, 3,000 will give you an idea of how we want to get that out. In terms of office type, residential, and at least reviews in terms of interest rate. In terms of lease renewal before expiry date, and we have a focus here because a large number of our leases expire without them being renewed. So we hope to reach 80% times renewals. In terms of lease accommodation within the time frame, to improve that delivery from 50 to 60%, it will be quite slow in responding to that. And the percentage of freeholds, properties allocated to VE, we're hoping that of the 3,000, at least 15% must be allocated to security funds. In terms of real estate information and registry services, the compilation of the asset register, creating a single repository for all sales of car. And to have the whole 5-year target is a completion. Asset register for ourselves, to also include at least 6 provincial and 3 land metros utilizing and contributing to the single operation. There's both significant challenges linked to the audit of the state coastal reserves that are under the custodianship of the Department of Public Works, and this is an area where we have to really begin to do our work and take us by the chance. Some areas may have been done already, but we suspect large areas are not even possible. And in terms of our targets, is to, as we identify assets, we have to verify them and ensure that they are indeed updated and maintained on the register. This is a moving target, as we've indicated, because in December of each year we were liaised with the Registrar of Deeds and see what new properties have been discovered that we will have to verify. So we expect to do verification for quite a few years to come. And to create a single repository, we have 3 provinces that do not use us, so our target is over the next few years to persuade the remaining 3. To become part of the single asset register. In terms of the metropolitan, our target is only for 1 in the 10. In terms of conveyancing, this is an area, there's a huge backlog we have here, and we hope to conveyance normally within 180 days, and to move from 80% to 90%. In terms of the audit of the coastal reserves, we think we can liaise with the Survey General and work on a plan of 30% of our coastal reserves in year 2 and year 2. In terms of facility management, one is to ensure that scheduled maintenance of our freehold property to ensure energy and water efficiency in our property, to ensure key components are repaired, and to undertake unscheduled maintenance on our property.
15,000 buildings have been identified with facilities managed and contracted by ISA private. 11 building and management systems installed. We hope to save 1.6 billion kilowatt hours and 23.8 million kilowatts of water over the next 5 years. In terms of our efficiency in repairs, we hope to have a 95% efficiency of certain types of repairs for 4 maintenance within 5 days. We've also set lesser time frames, especially for ICUs in military hospitals, in terms of 8 hours. We hope to create 25,000 job opportunities in the facility. So our targets are best justified in terms of as they are articulated by annual. I'm not going to go into that, I'll be answering to my idea. In terms of policy, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Jose Grega, who is our acting leadership action project director.
Thank you, Chair. The next table indicates the Department of Public Works programs that we are implementing. This excludes the site capital and also excludes the plant maintenance. On your second row, on your left, those are the 5 programs that we've separated our budgets into. Just to indicate, they are saying some of it's departmental, accessibility, traumatic risk management, where we have those difficult conditions, and port of entry, inner safety and prestige. This also assists us to manage them in different compartments as we put them. The slide then indicates the trend in terms of the budget, and you then also appreciate and see that the budget has been decreasing. If you look from 2011-12 financial year to 2013-14, it has gone down to 500 million, the problem. Then the 14-15 allocation and the projections for the MTF up to 2017-18. In total, currently, we are having a budget of 500. I can see that it says 943. I think it's just an error. It's supposed to be 510 million. I'll move to the next slide. The next slide then indicates what we've done. We've extracted some of the projects that make up those programs. We also appreciate that there's a number of these projects. We have separate reports for those projects. The project some and different stages. Some are in construction, some are almost finished, some we have challenges. And if we look at Ilbadet, sort of the big project where we also experienced challenges. However, it's on site and it's almost complete. We managed to resolve some of the challenges in terms of those. The next slides also include the structured combination of projects in different regions as well, and budget that makes up those projects. As I've indicated, in different stages, some in construction, like the first one, and others in learning, where we are still going to finalize our sketch plan and also do the necessary procurement and go to site. Some are complete when that busy period. The next slide is an extract of projects from the Land Port of Entry, which is the Colera project, which has been completed. Also, it's in the liability period and final accounts, where now we need to finalize and wrap up the project. The others are also extracted from the Land Port of Entry program in terms of that. The next slide is a duplication of the same slide in terms of the facility of the Supreme Court, which is for the subject. The other one, again, there's no difference with the requested sum of the project, and we've indicated the budget. As I've indicated, this is an aircraft for the PowerPoint presentation, but you do have the details report, pay project, to say wages, and if there are challenges for certification, how we deal with that. I'll go then to slide number 51, which then also indicates a program for maintenance and repairs. Again, it's a similar kind of trend in terms of the budget, where it's reducing. And some of the contributing factors are issues of not spending the budget as the budget reduces, which moving to PMG, that's what we're trying to address and correct and do on time projects so that we can also reclaim our money. And we've also extracted some of the projects. The first one is in Everton, and the red project, it's complete. It's also in different liability and final account, and also extracted from the Claremont project as well. The slide number 53, it's a similar kind of trend, combination of projects on site, projects in planning, with own challenges and budgets in terms of that. I will then move to slide number 55, which is the rehabilitation, renovation, and refurbishment. This is our PNTE, our current budget. Also again, if you look at the number of projects that we're implementing, it's over 1,000. So there's a lot of these projects that we are trying to manage. And currently our budget is sitting at ₹1 billion, which we are managing. We've also followed the same trend where we've structured some of the projects, some of them on site, like Val on site, and others in different stages, just to indicate some of the critical projects that are part of the refurbishment. Current slide is also a project which also I might not want to waste time. I've indicated that a detailed report paid project is not limited to this project which is put here, as we've seen the numbers over 1,000 in this program alone. Also refurbishment, and also notice in slide number 57, turn off your number 8, NCOP building. So those are some of the things that we are project that we are managing. Slide number 58, it's a continuation of a list of projects up to the end of slide number 60. Let's conclude my part. Thank you. Concludes my part, but also it concludes the oral presentation.
Thank you. I'm going to suggest a 5-minute break. I've lost most of you during this presentation. So everybody out of here and come back after 5 minutes. Otherwise, I just have 40 CLIs.
Thank you.
So members, any questions? Yes, my coach.
7
billion for the department. But of that, if I have it right, 11.2 billion will go towards PMGE. And if my calculations are correct, that is in the sum of 54 million. That means only half of the allocated budget will go to that. And with regards to Star Establishment, that will be a new entity. What is going to be done with regards to the Star Establishment of the PHGE? Then we have a vacancy rate of more than 300. Not 300 vacancies. When and how will this position be found? And then, Chairperson, on page 27, MTEF allocation, you must please help me here, Chairperson. The IET is allocated an amount of 50 million as the Honourable Chauva was alluded to. But why is there no amount towards 1617? But I asked the minister, will the IEP get its allocation from national treasury, or will it get allocation from public works? And the issue is it will come from public works. So why should this put in there? In Chairperson, I want to go to slide 32. There were 1,067 beneficiaries participating in the DPW skill development program. What kind of skills were given to these beneficiaries? Then Chairperson, the second presentation on the PMTE. Chairperson, I stay in the Moria Park. And this question is, a school, who does it belong? To public works or to basic education? I'm asking you this question, Chairperson. On page 14 of the PMTE, they say there will be a notification of 990 schools. Now, in the vicinity of the Warrior Park, you pass every day the Bowland School. There's no school, but children, and the little school up. Children become the same as the breastless children. As you always die from the University of Deschapel, the standard Northern College, but after that, we have a look, there's so much effort from the staff. Can we get it made, or is it e-board, and we can also sort in cost. Then, Chairperson, my other question is, I am in the Portfolio Committee for Tourism, and I'm very, very glad that on page 3, there will be an improved land administration and integrated planning for small harbour development. I would like to know where this development would be, because you see, Chairperson, if the small towns are developed, tourists will come to the small towns. And right there, I want to lobby the microphone, you know, my province. If it's one of the three provinces that have harbours, and if there was no development such as in the Western Cape, if you go today to Paternoster, Chairperson, it's not the Paternoster of 20, 30, 15 years ago. It's so developed, and of the PMTE, there is said that three provinces
ever come to the party. Six province, provincial and metropolitan real estate asset registers. When was the alignment with regard to local, provincial and national asset registers? When will that be completed? And secondly, who are these provinces and why don't they want to align with the immovable national asset register? Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams, Honorable Bob Madam.
Thanks. Let's also start with a prayer presentation on page 9. Maybe if we can just get some sort of explanation. On outcome 5, the change of 9, and then on this side of the right, they got some bulleting. 350 million ending March 2016. And then they got also TPWM professional ending 2016. Can they maybe just indicate what are going to be the consequences of those if they end this program? That's what we just get a report from that one. But just going on the other one, Chairperson, we know there was this turnaround strategy. And it also spoke about fraud and corruption. And that is, we didn't talk about fraud and corruption. I'm just not sure when I was going to say, yes, fraud and corruption is not over. I mean, the people are in the department. I just don't understand why we should talk about fraud and corruption forever and not get finished. Chairperson, there is a, Ms. Adams spoke about the vacancy rate. And look again, just without backing, there is a 12 million reduction now in salaries. And I just want to understand how is it going to affect the department in getting new people or filling those vacancies so that we can have priority. The same with the 65 million on goods and services, how is it going to affect the department? And I think the EPWP is also, they got 122 million of incentive also being cut so that we can get that. Then when we move to the second presentation, 3 days payment. And I think on page 10, they talk about that. You know, they got a plan to say the percentage of paying within 3 days, 80%, 90, and 100. As far as I know, the treasury everybody has made it clear that you post will be paid within 30 days. And I'm not sure why departments want to plan not to pay people within 80 days. I mean, if you're planning not to pay them and say, no, our plan was to reach 80%. It's not acceptable. You can't pay people after 80 days. And we are talking about people who are still suffering and we still want to carry on doing this. I'm not sure, and I can still remember that the accounting officer for this is responsible or accountable for this. Maybe let's get started then. And then share on patient. I think it's page 11, I don't look at the title, the same one, the UMPS. We are being user asset to compile the annual. And I don't have the UMPS with me, but I think the ethics are making it clear that we should comply with this. And I'm not sure why they say annual and they should be complying and absolutely nothing else. And then on page 15 on the projects, so I'm just looking at the projects. You know, when you look at the projects, they start nicely being high. So the two projects, and then they go to 27 projects, and then they go to 10 projects. 77 projects, 21 projects, and all of a sudden, four projects. 271 a week. And you know, I'm a politician, and I'm just wondering whether we're nearing the election. We want to make sure that we meet all the targets and say we're done. Why do we really cut up it and make sure we need in this last to say we've done very well as a department, and that's good for us. Thank you, sir.
I'm fairly sure, my son, yeah. Baba Scott, welcome. First of all, Chairperson, we must apologize to lots of class of politicians, but I thought we might have to do that. So
But my chairperson, I check here on page on the first slide, MCEF allocation on section 7. And I can run strategy because if I do remember, the current strategy is 7 years ago. Now they have budgeted for 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. What I want to tell us from how much has been spent in previous years, in 2013
and 2014. And the other thing is the contract grant for local government. There are two. There are two contract grants of local government. It's one is a work program, the other is grant for municipality, and underneath it is the same thing. What I want to find out is the capacity. The municipality do have the capacity to implement this area fund pathway. If they do, if they don't have, what department are doing to help them? And other uncertainty is the social sector is what they have to work program. Say it's grant to programs. If they can unpack it all, because it doesn't make an idea. If they can make a lot to understand what does it mean. And then the second presentation capital on 29, number 11, seven data government using a repair of more centralization and beginning to put passengers as a good belief. I think they can give us which part of 7, because 7 is very much. You can look at the 7 is very much, they can give us an indication. And the last one, chapter 10 is this one.
Oh, sorry. Oh, your mic is still on.
So it's on.
The starting to fade.
Okay. The other refurbishment of residents for parameter village.
Is it can give us a which parameter village refurbishment?
Because where I'm saying because I always complain to the village about the best house. But there's nothing that has been consistent. And the last one, the one
are you saying most
Africa. And the last one, the thing is that number 18 on slide number 6. Heritage page of proposed new furniture. What kind of new furniture are you proposing? And how much are you going to cost the implementation?
Thank you, Honorable Michael. So my fund,
I also apologize for combining between the committees that I moved the chair presentation and second one in the wake of the series. But also I want to make a follow-up on page 29 around the issue of the refurbishment of residents of prisoners officials in the very parliamentary villages, which cost 19 million. I want to check, because we do oversight as politicians, if you say you have done refurbishment of residents without quantifying to say maybe you have done 20 residents, which cost 19 million, because it will assist us to have valuable money. How many residents will really refurbish if we can share with us in different villages the number of them? So that we can understand whether we did a value for money for this. So the other, on this page, I can see the performance indicators and annual target for 2015 to 2018. Maybe I need a clarity on number 14. And 15 to 15, they say 80 to 100. I'm not sure whether they mean the unit or the percentage, because in the other one they put percentages. I think they need to produce that if it has the percentage. And also that when you deal with the issue of performance indicators or objectives, they should be specific and measurable. Now, if they are saying 60 to 100 or 80 to 100, where must we make them to account on the numbers of 80 or 100? Because I don't understand the 80% or the new that they cut it 20% if one can get clarity on this one. And share all the best presentations on the issue of the CWP. I see the increment in my colleagues indicated of additional 50 million. I recall that the minister once said in one opening for the presentation. Now the forecast now in this period is quality job. I want to check whether are we really going to focus on quality job, and how is the committee going to do the oversight to make sure that the job that are being created. You know, a 1 week job, and then we are saying we have created a job so that we can make the relevant official account on the quality job and the need that said. And the other thing, Honorable Chair, I understand that there will be, or there is an amendment on the basic conditions of employment act that is going to be implemented soon, and it came out clearly in the Make of the Nation Amendment, President. What I want to check is the lifespan of the EPWP, or whether that particular amendment is not going to affect this EPWP program, because I know that it's an intervention program. But now when the amendment comes to implementation for basic conditions of employment act, is it not going to affect, or whether the department is looking at whether it will affect the particular program after we have added, you know, that amount of 15 jobs on the set.
Honourable Member, thank you very much. Honourable Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, sir. One of my colleagues already indicated this about giving ourselves very low targets, which means that at the end of the day we won't be in the position to push as much as we are supposed to. I was looking at a situation where it was indicated that we'll be able to do 10,700 out of 800 evaluation, and that is over the period of 5 years, which translates to 13%. Are our targets not really too low? Can we look at them and revise them? In most cases, they look very, very low. The other issue is about the issue of this is the expiring before the renewal. How does it happen? Because I take it that there are people who are working on that on a daily basis, whose the work or this renewal of leases are part of their job description. Now, how come that at times we leave them to expire even before we can renew them? The issue of our asset register also, it has been a problem in many provincial departments and also in municipalities. What are we doing as a department to try and assist so that we don't have a situation where this department and the municipalities get game up and so on, because one of the things could be their asset register. I want to talk also about the 30 days. I think Honorable Matamuji talked about it. In our committee of tourism, the small businesses, they complain a lot about the departments that are not paying within 30 days. And this thing is really hampering their work, which is also making some of them not to to be in the position to sustain themselves because of their peace. So I think it is really proper that we should ensure that we pay within 6 days and not something else but 6 days. Let's try and strive towards that one. The issue again is on the somewhere, I think it is on page 9, number 5, where we talk of empowerment of SMMEs. It also talks about electricity there. But what I realized where I come from, many small SMMEs, they are unable to continue with the business that they are doing, or it ends up being a white elephant. Mostly is because of electricity. In most cases, we find that they are not given their own transformer where they're supposed to pay a lot of money at the end of the day. I don't know if we can be in the position to talk to ESCOM or those who are dealing with electricity to say, this model MM is, if they use a minimal amount of electricity, like the prepaid ones, it will work out better than the way it is done now. Most of them, they have just closed as I'm speaking now because of this. Lastly, I'm coming from Pelican Park. The reception there on our cell phones is really terrible, very, very bad. I don't know if you have anything to do with the health department. How can you answer that? Thank you.
I think this is a propitious time to take reprisals from the delegation from the department. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, if we put the questions together, I think the majority of them would belong to PMT and EPWC. I'd like to propose that we do the EPWC first and then PMT, then we'll do the remaining question and go elsewhere. Is it okay, sir?
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. Members, I would like to respond to best my ability. A few questions regarding the EPWC. The first one with regard to an increase of 30 million rand for the non-state sector. I would like to link to the other question about the slight decrease in the budget. And if we select the presentation, that would go to slide 23 of the first presentation. Now, before I get to start, just in regard to that 50 million rand, what we have seen over time is that government, we have tried in both phase 2 and phase 3 to increase cooperation with civil society, especially non-governmental organizations, and support them creating more work opportunities. We have seen that some of them actually withdrew from the EPWP because we could not support them. That's why National Treasury had prioritized 50 million rand. We agree that it is perfect enough, but in a tight fiscal environment, we are grateful that at least an additional 50 million rand has been available in 2013-16 so that we can support more NGOs to contribute to the country's unemployment challenge. So that's just a broad comment. With regard to the cut in budget, that was a question that was asked. That would affect the achievement of EVOP targets. You would notice that on this slide is currently for provinces and municipalities, amongst others, in terms of transfers and subsidies, there was a decrease from 2014-15. If you could just briefly refer to this decrease from 1.2 million in 2014-15. To 1.178 million in 2015-16. But then throughout the years there had been an increase, there was an increase again. So just to, because we have asked ourselves the same question, how will this tax percentage impact on EIP's ability to deliver on the targets? And even though there was a slight decrease in year one, there is actually an increase in the two other years over the MTEF. And that's why we are constantly have been in contact or in discussions with different implementing bodies, and they have given us the assurance that they will cite that we will be able to maintain those for achieving of those parts. In slide 27, there was, we apologize on slide 27, that the reference to local government, the conditional grant local government at the bottom, one of them referred to the conditional grants local government and the first municipalities twice. It is indeed an error. The first one referring to the figure of 587.5 million, that refers to municipalities. And then the last group here that also says conditional grants to local government, the conditional grants to provinces. And then the first one that expands on those improvements based on municipalities should be based on the municipalities. And the second one should be based on provinces. Our sincerest apologies for that was indeed a type of that was a typo, so we apologize for that. With regard to, do municipalities have capacity to implement the EWP? We have seen over time lots of rotation amongst local government level. And we have identified the problem early on, and that's why we continue with providing technical support to municipalities to enable them. So the answer is yes, no. There's still a lack of capacity amongst municipalities to implement EWP fully, and so we continue from the department side with the provision of technical support among across a broad range of issues, amongst others, designing of programs and implementing of programs in a labor-intensive way. In greater terms of problems as well as in term, it speaks in essence to two main sectors, infrastructure sector, environment culture sector, and it is a performance-based grant and partly training-based, which means based on previous reporting, in DORA there will be a schedule that says based on reporting, provincial departments would qualify for the following amounts or following allocations, should I say, based on reporting to the Department of Public Works, the coordinating department, and then those grants to provincial, to the qualifying provincial department is then released by the Department of Public only when Public Works report national stage to say yes, they have performed, therefore we can release in three tranches those grants. I'd be more than happy to elaborate in more detail on the grants, but I don't want to sound overly confused in this particular session, so it's just that we start planning and pass a performance-based grant to qualifying infrastructure departments in the main. The quality of work opportunities, we obviously have work on the targets, and the criticism always has been, yes, but these are short-term work opportunities. We have to say that we have seen over time that the duration of work opportunities across the different sectors has actually increased over time. And so we see in the social sector and environmental culture sector, many work opportunities are longer than a year, some up to 2 years, and then people qualify to participate in EWP programs and projects. So that speaks in essence to, or at least to one dimension of the quality longer ensure and the longer income transfer into poor households. We also would like to stress, Honourable Chairman and members, that for the EPOP Phase 3, it's important to emphasize that the EPWP work opportunity should be seen in the context of social protection. We're looking at very poor households where often there's only an income, rather an old age pension, or perhaps one other grounds. So we see the EPWP participation as contributing to an income transfer into poor households and to improve quality of life into these households. We will report to this committee, obviously, over the next few quarters how we have progressed with regard to this particular issue. The last question with regard to the basic conditions of employment act and the amendment thereto, just to say that at this stage we are in discussion with the Department of Labour. We have had a meeting with Department of Labour the other day and we will have a follow-up meeting to look at the implications of these amendments for the EPWP, and as soon as we have concluded those discussions, we would be more than happy to report to this committee what the next step of that would be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the issue of the school program. Currently, what we have as a department, we've been allocated two programs to implement. The school beautification. It's just small projects on schools just to get the schools into particular standards. It's not a major upgrade in the school. Just speaking, painting, just to bring it into particular family. So that's the 900 plus schools that are implementing that program. We also have been allocated 36 new schools, all of them in the UK, where the intention was to build using the alternative material and the new technology. We are implementing that also, and that also for some program which in 10 by 2016 they should have completed accounts. However, the school's program in general remains the competence of provincial public works department in terms of implementation. This is just our contribution as a national department. I think I'll pass that and go to the next one. The next one is the issue of the capacity. Yes, still remains an issue. However, what we've done is we looked at the retired professionals to come and assist on contract basis. Also, the department is running a young professional program where some of those are very older, when they come to the department, get the training and fed to the outside consultants to get the started training. That means that they get this, a part of creating capacity for the department and also for the country. Also, then in the process, yes, we are going to be getting external mentors to come in because we do not have sufficient to provide those. The next one is the issue of UMs, which we note. However, the issue there is compliance with GIAMA. What we've noted is that for client departments to deliver those UMs which are found, they must have the technical skills. And the reality is that most of our clients, in the exception of the few that have started to create capacity, they do not have. They have to put it as a target. However, when entering public works, we need them to assist them so that they can deliver the planning tool. That will assist us to plan better and have a long-term planning tool. That also is linked with the issue of project targets, which seem to be small. These are the projects that we have in our database, in our inventory. To say, this project, we're planning to finish it, taking into account the issue of your planning, which at times talks to year in size that takes longer, the issue of procuring the services of professionals,
your clients, your programmers of the conference, and actual construction. We are then saying that in the next 3 years we want to conclude those. However, because, as I've indicated, our tools of learning are not up to scratch, we will be receiving projects in financial year where client department is giving us projects. But going forward, once we get to a point where our UM is correct and all our planning documents, we will know upfront what project we have. So this is really the project that we have and plan according to say when we're going to deal and keep the right one. I think the issues of 10 days payment, we noticed it's a statement of fact, and the only issue is that in small projects, we've also explained some of the issues where our service providers do not submit the necessary information, and that's where now we're trying to beef up our systems to make sure that as they submit, we check and make sure that we submit all the required information. This remains an issue, and I think we take it as an indicator that there's no tweak.
Yes, that's
what this matter of
this statement. I think it would be totally irresponsible of us as a community. So if I just allow this party to plan not to be able to do this. You know, I was expecting that the government would say we'll go and request the cabinet to make it uncertain. Because really, Chairperson, I don't see any reason. If they say they can pay 100% in 3 years, what need them not to pay 100% this financial or next financial? I mean, here we are taking people for failures, to be honest with you, Chairperson. People are crying because they are not being paid in time. And on one side, we are trying to create, I mean, to make people not to look for help, but let them start there, go for themselves. And to say we are going to leave it like this, Chairperson, I think it is totally unacceptable, because we are saying to the department, here's go and not pay people within the disease for this financial aid and everything. I think they must actually go and adjust this target and make sure that if they fail, they fail themselves. But it's not us as a committee to say, yes, don't pay them within 30 days. I just want to bring that question, but really, it is of we will be looking responsible as a committee to say, not department, we really agree with you, we can go and not pay people within 30 days.
Well, thanks for the point that you are re-emphasizing. I thought you were still busy with a rejoinder to the comments and questions posed by the members of the portfolio committee. Continue.
Thank you. I think the next point from the honorable members is for the issue of projects. I've responded to say that is what we have, and we're planning to conclude that as a backlog. However, we'll be receiving new projects, as I've indicated. Then the issue of the lift, it is a Durban High Court project that he was specific on it to say which project is that, which part of Durban is that. Then the next one, just for myself, yeah, thanks. I concluded the infrastructure related part.
Thank you. I'll go through the next system of that. In relation to the provinces and the asset register, these provinces rely on us to provide them asset register services within our current IE works. We are in the process of migrating from IE works to the Archibus property management system.
Mr. Bayer, just for ease of exposition and understanding, could you identify the six provinces concept?
Okay. Let's do it the other way. The three provinces, okay, that are left. Six provinces are in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, Free State, and the Eastern Cape. Are the ones who rely on us from the IE1. In relation to
provinces having alternatives, KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and the Western Cape. Now, in this respect, we've had a lot of meetings as part of our cooperative relations, and we seem to be finding common ground in respect of the use of Akiba. And that will help us immediately with KwaZulu-Natal bring them on board, because we share Akiba together. That will also help us with persuading Gauteng and the West. So that's part of the effort that we would have, because our IE works was not fully developed to meet the grant requirements and to wait for it to be developed at the cost. So it's just cheaper to go get a system that is grant compliant. So that's in relation to the application. In relation to the 30-day payments, I think we take the direction quite seriously and we will revise it. However, what we just want to put on record, there was a question asked about fraud and corruption. Why do we still have it? Well, every day we make new discoveries in relation to fraud and corruption. Even in the lease renewal process, when we want to renew a lease, we look at how the previous lease was secured. We make discoveries. Part of the problem about the 30-day payments also has to deal with claims being made for which we are not responsible. But for all valid ones, we should pay for them. In fact, if our capacity goes even better, in my last organization, I had three different dates. Statutory and regulatory was paid within 3 days, whether it's UIF, SARS, etc. Small enterprises were paid within 40 days, and the rest were paid within 30 days. So hopefully, if we meet the 30-day target, we can then develop other mechanisms and types. But the whole issue is about developing new systems in place. So we're now rolling out a HR device. This will now have, for the first time, proper order logs, goods receivers. These will have this. The implementation and rolling out of the system will help us to improve our ordering and payments. So I think we will comply and adjust out to 100 days and report the exceptions and deviations where it could not and should not be. In respect of the U.S., yes, GIAMA stipulates that every user should in fact develop a UF. But GIAMA didn't prescribe the extent and detail of a UF. And Public Works developed some guidelines. The problem is, if the client has no requisite skill or capacity, steps have developed the capacity because we had the gates and we allowed them to develop the capacity. In our new approach to the ministers and society is we want a client-centric approach. And part of the user demand management is embedding ourselves within the client department to provide the requisite skills to help them. We can have a two-pronged approach. For the big departments like defense, correctional services, staff, justice, we can help develop a capacity jointly and have them embedded in those departments. For the smaller departments, we may have to provide that capacity directly ourselves. One part of our intervention is here is developing those 42 UFs by the end of the financial year. And so, GIAMA also prescribes that there could be punitive measures elsewhere. But we have not issued the regulations to enforce and enable, to provide the guidelines and then to enable the minister to impose tax upon the department. So to cooperative government means, cooperative government and relations, we are attempting to do. But it is a major funding block to effective long-term plan. In respect of the impact of the cuts it's going to have on salaries, the reality is this. We have to try and run our operations within the envelope already provided. Even if we get a structure approved by DPSA, it may not necessarily be justified by K. And that's going to be the problem. But I think we have a sufficient number of staff to at least get the job done. Not at least ideal capacity, but we can't say we have no staff and we can't do the job. In respect of the 2,161 and why only 2,143 are verified, we have reported previously, I think it was every last year, that when the people with legal verification went on site, the building was either locked and no one was there, so they couldn't possibly enter, or they were just denied entry. And we reported this to the SIU for investigation. But it's a small number. In the vast majority of cases, 2,143, we were able to get in, physically verify the property, see who was there or not there, even confirm the plans, and if there were no floor plans, we do the floor plans. Okay? I have a detailed report which was provided to us in terms of that intervention, and that basically gives you a strategy to the property that we need. The next question also has to deal with the 10,500, that target being too low. Yes, we do have 80,000 properties, but the cost of putting a property performance management system is not cheap. We have means of verifying payments of payments of rights, potatoes, rates, and taxes. We've now introduced a centralized call center. We've developed the application which Mr. Page was referred to as Works With You, which will now begin to provide information when we are spending money on facility maintenance. So we identified 9 areas that we could possibly look at. And we said rather target 10,500 strategic use buildings and put the systems in place and grow that number. It's a very huge number, considering what we have. But if the number is too low for the members, we will go and revise it and see what the future manage. The lease is expiring. Now, part of the problems have been if our business process is long and cumbersome. Public Works' current business process requires the clients to confirm again if they still need to be in the service, and then issue a procurement instruction. Now, that ordinarily should happen 18 months before the lease. But this does not occur. And therefore, the people who could renew it are not given the procurement instruction within time to do. Now, working with National Treasury, we have now simplified these processes. And hopefully, we will be able to reduce the number of leases that expire. Currently, we are sitting with about 2,700 that we have. The last intervention dealt with the renewals, and we have a fairly good success rate. Of the 1,400 that has expired, we only have now 121 that were not renewed and could not be renewed. And the reasons for this are that some belong to the municipality. I have the exact figures, so I thought to open them up myself. So of the 121, what I can tell you, some are from provincial governments who have not signed the law. In one province, it has to go all the way to the Union office. In some municipalities, they are also reluctant because they need a full council meeting in order to do that. So that's part of the difficulties we are experiencing. In terms of private landlords, that number is not too high. So of the 121, the problem relates not so much to public health system. In a few instances, we have the deceased estate trying to get hold of it. So of the 1,400 that expired, we now have 121. They have a list, you know, where they are, and we're trying to make every attempt to get those renewed. Yes, I think the member is right. We have many staff. We have to also change the work process of the business process which we indicated before. And so that the expiry or the renewal of leases occurs timely. In respect of the siege, I was hoping my colleague, who is in fact should be the authority, what I am aware of, and I think the question can be answered in a written response to given that my colleague is that we, as part of the turnaround, we were supposed to have put in place a program in consultation with the members of the board of the villages to ensure that there was an upgrade program of caring in the villages, from changing of beds, replacing equipment, painting, etc. What I'm also aware is that there were funds allocated for that purpose, etc. The exact details, Mr. Chairperson, I don't have. I would rather respond in writing, given that my colleague who has had all that information is not really here. In respect of this last question, the sending of the turnaround back was said to us. And I think to that extent as well, I have some information, but not all. And I'd rather we also respond. No, we don't have the details. We, Mr. Chairperson, we will also respond. What I can tell you, in terms of my knowledge, we have had major interventions. We had the first intervention started with the asset register, getting a PMO. We then had, and that was the NSSR, we then had a physical verification PMO. We had two. We had a Pricewaterhouse consortium and we had a valuations consortium. They're almost ending their work. We've got a second PMO intervention that is running and managing. That's the Edison 92, or it's Edison and Sekela, I don't know. Then we had KPMG at Sekela as a finance intervention. It was a big bang approach, a big project that ended. And part of that intervention helped us to identify a number of things. Part of it was irregular expenditure, the extent that was identified. It helped us in terms of putting policies and procedures in place. It helped us to improve our audit outcomes. That has ended. We've not replaced that yet. In terms of the leases, the persons I'm asking are the 2,162. We had appointed some consultants to go and do the physical verification. Given the high levels of fraud and corruption, We do not want to do that investigation without as a verification of our own staff. That independent verification has helped us significantly. It identified 112 properties that were supposed to be vacant. It identified 29 that could be potentially occupied by somebody else. Those 112 and CEPSA were referred to their findings. We have a second intervention that's looking at areas not covered in that. Part of this one is looking at a sample of our properties that we lease out. Physically, we are visiting, verifying, and doing a sample testing the markets we have a lease rent. So we will now know whether our leasing out, how far off it is from the market. We have an intervention with Pricewaterhouse in respect of irregular expenditure and data identification, amongst others. Since I am not able to give you all, I have the chairperson for the intelligence of us providing the mic so that we can cover everything. I think it's here, and it should be over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, we will deal with the human resources related questions and then the finance.
In terms of the HR, when we give an overview of the price of the patient collectively, very quickly, on the background, the department has a comprehensive human resource plan, which is approved by the county officer and submitted to DPLA on an annual basis on the 1st of April. So in terms of the HR plan, there are three critical areas that we cover. It's the workplace skills plan, it's the recruitment plan, and it's the training plan. And all these plans are being implemented and monitored on a quarterly basis. Now, in terms of the recruitment plan takes into consideration the current vacancy rate of the department in line with the composition of employee budget that's been allocated to the department. So, if you, for example, look at slide 1, you'll see that there is a high vacancy rate in the department, but in terms of the recruitment plan, the department has prioritized specific areas that it will concentrate on in terms of a screening post. Not to say that it will put all vacant posts in these specific areas, but it will prioritize those posts of most critical nature to be filled. Then in terms of the staff establishment, the staff currently in the 9 function areas of PMG will be migrated to the PMG structure. However, the staff that are involved in shared services, such as the RCG and corporate services, the other functions that are shared between these companies will remain with DPW until such time as they can either be migrated over to CMTE in its relative percentage or until such time that CMTE is capacitated with its own structure for those shared functions. Then you will see the job establishment and budget of those shared functions which remain with DPW. Then in terms of the skills development program, on page 26 of the HP, there is a breakdown of the 1,066 beneficiaries of the skills development program. And there are 198 young professionals, and the young professionals are made up of young people with professional qualifications that require on-the-job training in order to become registered professionals with the department, at which time the department's intention is to absorb the young professionals. We have 463 interns, and these are young people who have a post-matric qualification but not in educational discipline. There are 177 learners, and those are young people who have not yet completed a post-matric qualification. We have 29 trainees in management, and we have 200 artisans trainees who are training in one of the artisan disciplines. So that's the breakdown of the skills development program. In summary, but if we go to the slide on the skilled and capable workforce, what you will see there is, in terms of the budget, most of the funding that's allocated to the program is actually ending in 2016-17. The intention is to absorb those who are under the program into the department and until, so they become part of the compensation of employees. But where the department is continuing the program, there will either be an application to receive up continuation of funding, go through the national training process, and will request additional funding beyond 16-17 program. And although this may not completely address the issue of the retaining of skills, the
within the conference, it had a significant contribution in terms of providing the capacity that the department requires, but also in terms of providing these young people with valuable on-the-job training in the areas that they require.
Thank you. The finance question raised was in relation to slide number 19. That says the departmental budget over the MTF is 20.7 billion, devolution of the budget allocation of approximately 11.2 billion to the PMT has resulted in a decrease in the departmental budget allocation over the MTF. Now the allocation for 11.2 billion is limited to the personnel, social services, and machinery and equipment, and also the infrastructure. The budget does not include the maintenance. And because if you go to the PMTE slide number 10, you realize that the budget, the overall budget for PMTE between 2014-15 and 2015-16, it moved from 11 billion to 40 billion. That means the budget for maintenance, infrastructure, rehabilitation, that budget was already under PMT. But the only budget that will be devolved is the budget that is related to the compensation of employees, within services, and machinery, which previously was under the department of budget.
Well, the question was, what? How is that in proportion to what the minister has indicated for the services that have set up for business? The reality, I don't think you are true. The reality is that it does not seem to be if you look at it. But the issue is, as Heather pointed out, moving staff, etc., that relates to so it was not taking the total budget and dividing it and selling it. Maybe that's part of the problem, maybe, but the compensation budget on the living budget side may also be skewed and over related in terms of public pressure. So that's part of the problem to do with this. The other point I want to make about the budget, and I indicated previously, the presentation that you make about the committee is that those monies are not sufficient to achieve or to do all the things that are required for the body to come to the party. The last area was the turnaround. In respect of the turnaround, basically the answer, no new money is given by treasury. We have to find from within the allocation money to allocate for turnaround intervention. And they approve those bonds. We are busy developing a turnaround plan, which we are in the process of finalizing for the efficiency enhancement 15, 16, and beyond. That will only be ready in a month.
Yes, Chairman, the remaining questions, the IDT and the payments and so on, so only in the first year, not the other years. The department is facilitating the business case for the IDT, and the intention is that in the outer year, the IDT should become self-sustainable. The National Treasury are also supporting the process in that they've issued a factor's note that allows the IDT to compel departments to pay over a management fee to create some kind of predictability with regard to IDT revenue management. So to answer the question is to allow the IDT to slow their own future. Chairperson, the question regarding the concurrent function and the business model around that, I think to answer that question, I want to make reflection of the fact that the public work function is a concurrent function. And on the one extreme, you could find nine provinces and the national department working completely independently of each other on the one extreme. On the other extreme, the national department begins to play the space of oversight and coordination of what transpires in the entire sector, where we essentially develop best practice in terms of Yama. We also go to another level where we educate in a certain way what we do with EPWP, and we deliver infrastructure in a manner where we can coordinate what we do with each other, despite the fact that we operate in different tiers of government. It's what the concurrent function is about, and I think what we want to do is to develop a diagnostic in the first year so that we can study the space properly and explore that as is possible, not forgetting the fact that the public works function is a concurrent function. Shepherdson, to move over onto the remaining questions, there was a statement made about the budget and the reduction of the budget. I just want to emphasize the point made by my colleagues that we will be filling only the very critical posts. And we do recognize that we have severe resource constraints, but we also want to also accept and acknowledge that we have been, a significant amount has been appropriated to the department, and we've got to utilize our funds in the most effective manner going forward. With respect to the question of the 30 days, I think you would, some members might have noted that EPW has got 100% payment rate within 30 days, and I think the PMC business plan must align to that. I think correctly pointed out, we can't plan to pay, especially that when we say 30 days, we mean administrative invoices. So we can't blame a supplier for submitting documentation that is incomplete. The 100% applies to administrative documentation, so we should change the PMC plan to align to 30 days. With respect to fraud and corruption, my colleague made a comment that we're discovering new things every day. But I think what we also have is we have a very comprehensive anti-corruption strategy. And the one thing that we've done differently in the current year, in terms of our plan, is to introduce a few mechanisms. The one is we conducted a detailed fraud risk assessment. We try to understand those areas within which fraud and corruption is being perpetrated. For example, we know that day-to-day maintenance is an area that is very vulnerable to fraud and corruption. It's been mentioned to us that we can't continue to investigate the same type of incidents over again. We've got to then plug gaps. So we have conducted a comprehensive fraud risk assessment, and the fraud risks will be included in the branch business plans of the respective branches. And equally importantly, the obligation to manage those risks will be in common agreement of each branch head. So we need to deal with the fact that we want to prevent fraud and corruption rather than only investigating. Shepherdson, that's on another occasion, we can discuss some of our other methods regarding more detail, but we've reduced our backlog in fraud and corruption from 250 18 months ago to 70. So we're beginning to focus on live cases, and we're taking a very stringent approach to charging people and also setting people, setting an example with respect to fraud and corruption. Shepherdson, I think we've covered all the questions there. If we must anything, if somebody could point it out to us, we'll address them as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable
President. Thank you, sir. I hope the problems of the follow-up of my question is not anything reflected in the presentation that I saw came later from another colleague. In Utah High Court, as an oversight that I did on my own, I came across a problem there where the advocates are saying that the judge does not say, and that they always try to persuade the Department of Public Affairs to say, please improve the premises from the security perspective as well as from the infrastructure perspective, to the extent that a decision judge could very well get someone walking into the building, into the court building, and actually touching his neck. Now, I don't know if the department has actually ever received such, and if so, what has ever been done? You say this has been there applied for the last 5 years or so. I don't see any plans to do anything about the building now, and that's one reason I question here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the second row guy
is qualified for the question. No, thanks. I think on that one, there is a project which is still in plan.
which we finalizing the planning and the cost related to that in terms of the scope. It appears that it's a bit expensive to deal with the security. Hence, we're trying to make sure that there's available money and then move it. We can provide. The one that I'm referring to is the issues with the secure sector. Still planning.
Thank you. Honorable
Maybe I did not hear well the response around the issue of the 60 to 80. On page 17, there is 10% of 3,000, and the above one number 755. I think the report, this report is not consistent, because it is saying 50% of what? Or because 5 over 10 is 50%, and 50 over 100 is 50%. So that we can know exactly on the units like they did on number 8. They said 10% of 3,000. So that's consistent. And between 80 and 100, what is the real target on the? I did not hear on the answer on the phone. But the last thing is on the follow-up question, on the issue of quality jobs. I heard the respondent indicating that it will be now full-time equivalent, that is quality job. What I want to check, is it going to be a new determination on the minimum number of days that are supposed to be worked by the EPW staff, like 100 days and so on? If now we are saying quality job, there will be new determination around the issue of the minimum. And lastly, Chair, I want to check on the issue of the school. They are saying, the department is saying that plus minus 900 school notification and this school. I want to check, are they not involved in the ASIC? Because that's what I understand, that they are part of ASIC. Or whether this 36 is that one that they are dealing with, because they never mentioned the issue of the ASIC that they are involved with. They mostly on notification. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I'm sure the department will provide us with clarity.
May I share? Yeah. Actually, the quality jobs here, the real way that issue of quality speaks to more to a range of issues. What I highlighted on the global was the future that one of those certainly would be the question of duration of work opportunities. And here we have to be upfront to say that the duration is a very much, will still very much be a mixed bunch, so to speak. Because the duration is linked to the nature of projects, whether it's the infrastructure sector, whether it's the social sector, there is an environmental and cultural sector. And what we have found over time is not a case of one size fits all, but what we are pushing for is that the participants in the EPWP project should be able to access other work opportunities also, which means even when a project in infrastructure has come to an end, persons should be able to access, and that's what we are trying to sing together. So let me give one example that is very pertinent to this. It is the case of the community work program driven by the Department of Cooperative Governance. In this case, the model is specifically to provide 2 days of work per week, and then participants can structure the rest of their around that. So the honourable member asked whether we are revisiting the minimum of 100 work per year. At this stage, no, honourable member, we are not revisiting that. We are saying at least 100 days per annum.
because what that means would be 2 days of work per week. If 1 year consists of 52 weeks, which means on average 100 days per year. But in cases where possible, depending on the nature of the program, we're pushing for a longer duration. So it's not a revisiting, but it's rather a deepening and an impact that we would like for participants to participate in the LPD programs or public benefits for a longer period.
Yes, and he said that although why there will be consent, if you talk about quality control, there will be no quality control the way it is explaining. Because if you look at that two things, the issue of the EPWT is both training. And it means to say that they are not training, it's just both training. And but it's something to keep in mind.
My question would be on page 88 on the first presentation. I see the percentages on participation on the work opportunities, which is EPWT. So I see only women, youth, and persons with disabilities. I don't see any men there. So I just want to know, there's no men there among us. It's only women, youth, and disabilities.
You are setting me to think about what I told you earlier. I was just walking on Robben Island. We wanted the sick, the lame, the lazy. It seems the men fall under the last category. Yes, sir.
Thank you for the question. It's just we didn't expect to be obvious if the target is to for 45% women converse, that obviously the balance of that would make men or consist of men. 45% which means the balance of that would be men. And so that is not excluding men at all.
If there are no further comments, questions from members, we'll call it a day and say that this is how far we can further start the road today. This is another day at half past 10 when we continue. Officials from the department, stakeholders, interested parties, thank you very much. Honorable members. Thank you.